Matthias Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Matthias Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Matthias Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
July 19th, 2018.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can find updates with what, Mother?
Prophecyhour.com.
But what can they find updates with? The breaking news,
Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information. All are on the Ministry Hub, which is prophecyhour.com.
Right, that's what you said. Anyway, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net. Internationally, it's on YouTube Live and some FM stations. Goes on podcast later tonight, but pray about supporting airtime. It's not free. On another note, let's thank our listener bases worldwide in places like
Perth, Australia, Kivikai, Ukraine, San Juan.
Kiev, that's Kiev. Kiev.
Kiev.
No, just say Kiev. Forget about the middle one.
Okay. Kiev, Ukraine. San Juan, 1500, Philippines. Dublin, Ireland. Athens, Greece.
Athens, Greece.
And the good old USA, Washington, D.C., Long Beach, California, Houston, Texas, Henderson, Nevada, and Raleigh, North Carolina. And Wichita remains the largest listeners of our radio program that podcast later tonight.
Largest group of listeners when they go to our podcast. Okay, anyway, folks, please follow us and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. As you can tell, I have a program on again with my wife. She was on earlier. We started a program about warning the person that we're talking about, the false prophet, and warning you about him, because if you have love, I can't count how many loved ones have called me over the years since I visited the place trying to figure out how to get their loved ones out of there. And so I'm warning you ahead of time, this man is a false prophet and a pervert, and we are praying for his repentance if that is possible. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not ours, Father. Lift the veil from everyone's eyes so they can see and hear the truth. And Father, please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we started off we were talking last week, but we will remind folks to, you can find all this information. You go to prophecyhour.com and click on the pastor's page. There's links to all these articles that we've been talking about. Now, we've been talking about what he calls himself, and then everybody else picked it up, called the last day prophet of God. Now, that's R.G. Stair, and recently he was let out of the courtroom a second time in shackles. The first time was in 2002, and that was when I visited there. So you need to go to the first part of the program to know what's going on, because this is a two-part program, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the first one was, I thought we did pretty good on the first one. At least you didn't cry all the way through it, you know. Uh-huh. But you got a little emotional, and I don't blame you for being emotional. So tonight, Now we're going to go into the second part of this program. And while we laid the groundwork for what was going on then, we're going to talk about what happened previously in 2002. Okay. Let me have a sip of water and I'll start. Okay. In 2000, around in the year 2000, the R.G. Stair, you know, I heard it out of a lot of people, a lot of different ministers and people that I respected, that Stair, but I never listened to him but like once on radio, and he just ranted too much. And, you know, one thing about a minister of the Father, a real minister, they won't elevate themselves, they elevate, the Father and Son. But R.G. Stair, if you listen to him on radio, he consistently is just all about Stair, you know. And we'll get to something real important to that in this testimony, in this second part. So in back around 2000, around that time frame, you know, he had already given several false prophecies, and I wondered myself why people were still calling him a Latter-day Prophet. But I didn't listen to him much, but other people were saying that. I put a link to my website on that I had at the time, a link to, you know, the Overcomer Ministry, where people could listen to him, as I did for a lot of other ministers and people at that time. But, you know, since then I repented, I do a little more thorough research than I did then. Okay. So, like I say, it was pretty accepted by everybody in the prophecy world, you know, Michael Rood and other people, who's the guy that did Too Long in the Sun, Richard Reeves and some other people, Jim Seeley, or Stace, or Searcy. Yeah, Jim Searcy, you know, wrote a book, and these people accepted him, so I put a link on the website, you know. Well, and late, it was like early 2002, I think. You know, I'll have the dates on the website later, but it...
Well, I know you went in December, so that would be the end of the year.
Was it at the end of the year?
It was in December.
I thought it was right after 9/11.
No, it was wintertime.
Well, I know it was wintertime, but I thought it had... Anyway, but I'm not quite sure. I do know that there were National Guard in the airport guarding it, because I had to go... I flew up there, and I really wondered. I thought, well, these guys are going to inspect me and everything, because the whole Air Force were militarized. So I think it was early 2002, but that's irrelevant. Point was, is there were armed guards, you know, military people in the airports. I had to go through that to get.
Well, even September is over in the last part of the year, so it was wintertime.
Right. Point was, September 11th, 2001 was 9/11.
Right.
Okay, but that's irrelevant.
Okay.
That's taking up too much time. So roughly around this time period, I got an email from some, well, actually it was from Brother Tim, I think it was, one of the brothers that formed the NET Team. The NET Team was a small group of believers that had been in R.G. Stair's compound and had lived there. And so they had came out, and they were testifying and trying to bring people's attention to what had just happened there, where they had just raped and molested these two women, you know. But they were 18 and 20. They weren't minors. And that's why I think he got part of the past that he did. But he did spend some time in jail. Let's move on. Anyway, so I got an email, and they said, did you know you're linked to a pervert? And I went, pervert, you know, well, what are you talking about? Why would I be linked to a pervert? And so they sent me a short email telling me what was going on, and you know, they were very, really, actually pretty vicious about it at the time, because, you know, really nobody was believing their story.
Right.
You know, I mean, while people right there all knew about it, outside of that, people respected Stair. He was the most listened to person, had the most radio hours for shortwave historically than anybody. In fact, I know one radio station that had to actually buy a whole nother frequency so they could do nothing but run Stair 24 hours a day. And so he was out there, I'm telling you. The man lived, the place that he is at, and he's still at, is called the Overcomer Ministry. Now, what brings to mind now is I'll say it like this, is, you know, we've seen films of Jim Jones and how he controlled his flock and so on and so forth, and wouldn't let people leave, wouldn't let family contact him. Short of the Kool-Aid, this is the feeling I got from Stare when I started doing an investigation. So I started putting it out in my newsletter, and I had an online email thing called the Prophetic News Service, which I still have, and I put it out on there, and Stare got those emails. And so he emailed me back and started a dialogue with me. And he said, he said things like to me. He said, well, you know, I've been forgiven. And we had a long dialogue. I won't go into every little detail about it. But he ended up coming. He said, well, you know, he said, before you judge me, he said, you need to come down here and see if I've been forgiven, see if I'm telling the truth before you judge me. That's only fair. Well, I prayed about it. And then by this point, and listening to some of the witnesses that came out of this place and how well, even people that were coming out were still calling him a prophet. Even though he had messed up, they were still calling this man a prophet and a man of God. But, you know, I clearly, to this day, don't understand how hoodwinked they were able to do. But that's what cult leaders do. And that's why I say there may be still hope for the people that are in this community, that they need to be turned. There needs to be either the community disbanded, that was suggested to me, or if it's going to stay in place, it needs to have some ministers from another community come over. And I know a couple of communities that can do that. We'll talk about that. So anyway, I finally, you know, I prayed about it, didn't want to go, you know, and in my prayers I felt like, you know, I was being told to go, that the ministry would change when I came back. And I wasn't doing very good at that time, and health-wise, I'm a lot better now. But anyway, so he said, well, how do you want to come? I'll pay for it. And first I said, well, I'll drive a van up there. You know, first intention was trying to take the whole family. But then I didn't want to subject the whole family to it. And I said, well, so I switched. I said, okay, rent a car. And I used several different things. I said, no, a bus. I didn't want to fly. And we went back and forth, even training. And every time I changed my mind and said a different way, Stare would say, okay. So, you know, he was bound and determined to get me there. And so, you know, I prayed about it and really, really didn't want to go. And finally, you know, we said, okay. And he said, well, he sent a couple of ministers to visit me over at the Wichita Mission Church. We were just in we were on Maple Street. And tell them about that place.
It was a little strip mall. We just had two rooms, which the back room was your office till I took it over. And when we first started, I cooked everything at home, and we just sent it there. And you and Daniel was 11, you and Daniel took it over and fed the people, fed it out. Well, then Daniel wanted to play football, so we trained Grandma into it. And then when Grandma started, we put a stove in the office, and that's when we started cooking there instead of cooking at home, because Grandma did.
So. Okay, and for the record, Daniel's my oldest son. Anyway, so moving right along, we've got a lot of time. They sent a couple ministers up from, and I'm not sure what state. I can go back. I have all this written in notes, but irrelevant right now. So he sent a couple of ministers up to judge me and to give me some money. Well, they went back and told Stare that I had a great compassion for the people and for the Father. You know, I really had a compassion for the Father. And they left me with you know, a stack of money. I don't even remember how much it was, but it was some cash. Well, so it was agreed upon that I would fly out, and so Stare paid for the ticket, and, you know, I pick up the ticket at the airport and fly down. Well, my family at the time, I don't even remember who was, that would have been, Manny wouldn't have been, Elijah would have been.
Joshua's baby.
Joshua was the baby, so I had three children at the time. So we went to the church and spent the time waiting.
If you went in 2001, it would have been Elijah.
We'll talk about this a little bit later.
I'm just saying, if you went in 2001, it would have been Elijah was the baby.
Okay, well, maybe Elijah was the baby, but that takes up too much time for the important stuff, so let's just move on. Okay. And folks, I'm not being, I just know we don't have a lot of time, and there's a lot of things that I want to say in this broadcast. I don't want this to extend to a third one. But anyway, and so, at any rate, we all went to the church and waited, and they took me to the airport. And I was really pretty scared to death. I really did not want to go at all whatsoever. And I don't know how well I expressed it to anybody else, but I was scared. But then, they took my ticket and I walked to get on the airplane, it was like something changed instantly. It was more like that I wasn't even really in control. It was more like I was just riding in my own body. And, you know, I believe at that point the Holy Spirit took over and just guided my steps. So make a long story short, change, layover and everything, make it to up there to North Carolina, where he's at, and he sent a man to pick me up at the airport. Well, the man picks me up at the airport, and when he finds me, he says, "Oh, Daniel," he said, "Dan came to judge his people." And I said, "Well, you know, I just came here to do what Stare asked me to do, to come and see if he was forgiven, to come and see, check the situation. That's what I was doing. I wasn't because I wanted to go judge anybody." Well, anyway, so there's a long ride. We go from the airport. It was an hour away from this little town. And, we go in. I never forget going in the gate. And as we go in the gate, I had the windows rolled down to the car and I could hear Starr's voice. And I thought, that's weird, you know? But the closer we got down the path, the louder it was. And his name, his voice was coming over loudspeakers all over the place, just like Jim Jones or one of those guys. Everywhere you went, you could hear him preaching, you know, and it was recordings from his programs, right? And so we get up there and try to make this short. I get up there and they tell me that they want me to eat dinner and check in and do all this stuff first. I said, you know, I've come a very long ways. I said, I want to see Stare now. I've traveled all this way on the airplane. I wanted to see him right then. And they said, oh, no, you can't do that. And I looked down this long dirt road, and I seen him standing down there talking to a couple of guys. And I said, that's him, right? And one of the guys said, yeah. Now, mind you, everybody here is looking at me. There's women and children and everybody, and they're all staring, you know, like I'm some kind of strange beast or something. And they're all staring at me. And I said, no, I want to go talk to him right now, and I'm going to. And so I just took off walking, you know. And, you know, you could tell Stare was shocked the closer I got. And then I almost got up to him, and there was two little children playing on this. Well, they weren't really playing. They were standing side of the road. And I stopped, and I felt so sorry for them because they had really sad looks on their faces. They looked like they were about to cry. And so I stopped and visited with the kids and got a smile out of them. And then, you know, I walked on down. Well, I walked up the stair, and I looked him. I took off my sunglasses, and I looked at him straight in the eye. And I said, I'm Pastor Dan. Well, then it was Brother Dan. The homeless hadn't really nicknamed me Pastor Dan yet. That hadn't carried on. And I said, I'm Brother Dan. And he didn't say anything. He looked. I saw this strange look in his eyes. To me, it looked demonic. But he immediately looked down at the ground. And I kept trying to talk to him, and he kept looking at the ground. He couldn't look me in the eye. Finally, when he welled up and looked me in the eye, I got missed messages from his eyes, but he started to cry. There was a tear come to his eye before he looked away again. And then then the guy said, well, come on. He doesn't want to talk right now. And so we went and went to the dinner hall. Well, they'd already had dinner, and so they fed me and everything, and everybody was getting ready for the nightly service. So I went to my cabin, and everybody lives in all these trailers, you know, these old trailers. And in each trailer, there's an old radio playing. Guess whose voice is on it?
Stare,
right? And they got an old wood stove in it. So I change, you know, from the flight and everything, and I'm still looking like a biker, you know, with my hair in a pigtail. Now, mind you, Stare doesn't believe in letting anybody in his congregation or grounds that even have long hair. But I had long hair, but it was all tied in a back. You know, you had braided my hair before I left, because I always wear it in a braid. I don't wear it down. Anyway, so I got ready to go to service, and they came and got me. But as I was going out of my bedroom door, I put a quarter in the door so that if anybody walked in my door to check out my luggage, I would know about it. So we went to service. We get to service and we go in the back room and talk for a couple of minutes, you know, and then they bring me out, put me right in the front row, And Stare comes out, and Stare starts absolving himself. And, you know, now, mind you, all these women, you know, most of the women, and this is a wintertime part of the year, a lot of the women didn't even have shoes on and their children. And you'd think they'd have in the wintertime. And it's just because, come to find out, Stare takes all their money, but he doesn't give them
their needs,
you know. Anyway, so moving on. So anyway, I was really getting shook up. I was completely out of my environment, but I felt calm because I felt like the spirit was in control. And so I decided to test it. And so Stare's up there talking away, and I'm talking to the Father and praying, and he says, plead the blood. And so I said, okay. And so I didn't say it out loud, but I said, the blood of Yeshua. And when I said the blood of Yeshua, Stare just stopped. And dead from talking. And he was like, he had utter confusion on him. And he couldn't talk. And he shook his head. And he came in and he said, I don't know what we'll all talk about. And he started talking about something else. And I thought, was that a coincidence? Or, you know. So I did it again. The same thing happened over again. And so then at that point, I felt like, okay, well, I don't have to worry about it. And then we're coming up to the phone call, and you had some news for me, if you remember. But we got to go to break. And so, folks, go over to prophecyhour.com and go to the pastor's page. And at the pastor's page, there's links to a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about. And really, again, you need to warn Stare that you need to repent, Stare. You need to give up your leadership of that place, and you need to have some other ministers come in and take over. Or the place needs disbanded, as was suggested to me. But anyway, folks, go over to prophecyhour.com, check things out, share this with others, and make sure you get the first part of this program and listen to it. If you're listening to this one first, you're listening to the wrong one. Listen to the other one first. And we'll be back in how long?
3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, and I'm on here with my lovely, wonderful wife of 33 years or 32 years, whatever it is, and we're talking about a trip I made to R.G. Stare's compound, and he calls himself the Latter-day Prophet of God, and he has again been arrested. This time there was videotapes of him actually molesting children this time before he molested in 2002, molested an 18 and a 20-year-old, actually forced them through coercion to have sex. All this you can find it at prophecyhour.com if you click on the pastor's page. Anyway, I left off the part where, I visited the compound, and I'm now in the listening to the service, and, you know, it was really a bunch of garbage because Stare did nothing but exalt himself. And the next day, I'm actually getting ready, because the next day I'm going to go visit Victory Community, which this is why I say these communities are good. Victory is another community like Stare's. It's a farm, self-sufficient community, you know, and, you know, everybody there, though, is happy and everything. And this is where the girls fled to when this happened. They fled to Victory Community.
In North Carolina.
In South Carolina.
I thought it was Jefferson, North Carolina.
Waterboro is in North Carolina, and Victory is in South Carolina.
Oh, okay. I had them reversed.
Okay, right, I know. So anyway, yeah, let me clarify. It's in South Carolina. Anyway, so I would be going there the next day. But that is a wonderful community, and at the time, that's the thing that I said, that Pastor Ron, and he was even willing to take over that community, you know, and at least guide Stare back, if he would repent. he tried to tell me that before I left there that he had been forgiven, but true forgiveness means you have to repent
and
turn away and take responsibility. But he wasn't taking responsibility. While he said that he admitted to this sexual thing happening, he said that it was, he tried to put it all on the girls that they wanted it and so on and so forth, and they were complicit and they hadn't forgiven him, but he hadn't even asked them or told them he was sorry, nor told anybody else he was sorry. And so you really, you know, and two, you hit the nail on the head. Had he repented, then he would have turned away from it, right? That's
right.
Mean,
it wouldn't be coming up again with two more women that are of age, but same situation.
Right, and this is a scripture that I use, and this should go right to stir. You know, if you end up listening to this program, which I think you'll end up, somebody will give it to you, is Hebrews 10:26-20 says, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fire indignation, which will devour the adversaries. It has been pointed out to him that it is wrong, not only by me, but a lot of ministers and people, as we could see from Brother Ben. Other people pointed it out to him. So he has knowledge that it's wrong, but he's continuing to do it.
To sum it up, I'll answer the question like we do every Friday. We have the children answer it at church. If you know what you're doing is wrong and you continue to do it over and over again, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to a lake of fire.
Yeah, amen. That goes to you, Sarah. So anyway, so I go back to the cabin or to the trailer after we had this meeting, you know, the church meeting. And, well, first I went to the, back to the kitchen. They let us go over there, and you could tell it was unusual. But the guys tried to talk to me about Sarah or whatever, and this was in the dining hall. And in, they came and told me I had a phone call. What was the phone call about, Mother?
It was me, and I was calling because our adopted daughter, April, had just went to the hospital with pains, and she lost the baby.
And so, I went and I was talking to her on the phone, and my wife, and she explained all this, and I said, I really didn't want to talk because I felt like I was being listened to. I just, you know, I had that feeling, and I'd already checked my door. Somebody had been in and looked through all my luggage.
And they were listening to the phone call.
Come to find out, they were listening to the phone call. And I have proof of that because I made a comment to you about something.
You said, hon, I got to get ready to go catch the flight. I'll call you back when I get on the plane.
Yeah, that was the deal. And then when I started to get on the plane, the guy handed me a phone card and said, hey, before you get on the plane, I know you want to talk to your wife. And why? Because they listened to my conversation. Okay, so having said that, so that was one of the first demonic attacks that happened. That was demonic that got rid of my grandchild. You know, my grandchild died. And so anyway, moving on, the next morning I get up, I'm going to Victory Community. And Victory Community, they did not want me to go at all, you know, but they gave me a car to drive myself over there and gave me another handful of cash, which I said, what's this for? He said, oh, you might need it. I don't know what for. Gave me another handful of cash. But I only drove about a mile to this truck stop. And at this truck stop, I was picked up by Brother Tim and I think it was Brother Tim. If it wasn't Tim, it was the other one from the Net Team. But the Net Team, let's just say that,
Mike,
picked me up and gave me a ride to Victory Community. Now, while I say it's a wonderful place and all, everybody was smiling and happy there, and this is where the girls were at, I went over there to talk to the girls and everything. But what's your judgment of Victory Community, and why did you go there?
We went, Pastor Roberts donated a van because at the time we didn't have the way to haul the people. So he donated a van and me and my daughter, Lucy, went down there to pick up the van and we stayed the night. We got a rental car, went down there, stayed the night with him and then drove the van back, which happened to blow up on the way back, but nobody knew it was going to do that. But they're a wonderful community. If anybody would want to live that way, I would suggest that community because everything is self-sufficient. Everybody's loving. They're of the Lord. I really enjoyed it. I didn't want to leave.
Yeah. And would you go back there?
Yeah, I'd love to go back.
Yeah, and so Pat, so the, here you have an example of two different communities. One is really, right now, it's of the devil walking over or whatever because of stair. And the other community, everybody's happy, and they have shoes on their feet, and,
all,
you know, everything.
And they have nice cabins and everything.
Yeah, amen. And actually, one of the girls, the girl that they assigned to you was one of the girls that was raped by stair, because that's where they fled to. So I went, anyway, to make a long story short, I went to Victory and did the things that I needed to. I came back, and when I came back, I went back to the community, and they wanted me to stay longer so they could try to convince me. Stair has a habit of taking people in the dining hall and trying to break them down, you know, and everything. He tried to do that. That didn't work on me at all. You know how I
tried to bribe you.
And then that was just before we left. Just before we left, he took me into, went into the radio room, and the first thing that happened is it was in the, well, the room that's connected to the radio room, and him and two of his ministers and then his wife comes in. And the first thing that happens is his wife apologizes to me because she thought she misjudged me, that everybody, that basically I'd been misjudged by stair, that I was some evil person or whatever. But they, you know, they felt the spirit, you know. Like I say, I don't even believe at this point I'm in control of what's going on. But so she apologized to me, and then stair had her leave, you know. And it's amazing how they ordered women around. All the women walk around with their heads down. These women, and they're not dressed well, but they're all wearing long dresses and things like that, which is okay. I'm not against that, but it was all, everything was tattered, you know, and old, you know, clean, but old. And anyway, so then stair starts informing me, saying that's at that time that he told me about Michael Rood, you know, and several other people. And about how they had accepted money from him, and that he had gotten Michael Rood to cut his hair off. And he wanted me to cut my hair off, my braid off. He said, cut that braid off. And he said, I will fund your ministry. He said, I will let you get under my 501(c), and you can get in the food bank, whatever you do, because I know you don't want a 501(c). And he said, I will get you a better place. I will get you a place to take care of these people.
Yeah, he was going to buy a building.
Well, he was going to do more than buy, but he was going to basically start a, help me start a commune, and it'd be another stair commune.
Wow.
Is what it was, basically. And, you know, I told him no. You know, I just, no. You know,
Lord,
I can't do that.
Fine where we're at.
And I told him, and I gave him the story about my hair. I said, you know, when I first came out, when the father woke me up one night and told me that I was his minister, I asked him if he wanted me to cut my hair, wear a suit or whatever, and he told me he'd use me like I am, and I said, I follow the father, and you don't have to tell me to cut my hair. And, you know, stair didn't like that at all. Stair wanted everybody to be obedient to him. As I was leaving, we talked for a little bit. He gave me some more cash. I don't know how much, not a lot. When I got ready to leave, he gave me a laptop, which I still have. It's a little one. It's ancient now. But he said he knew I wanted a laptop, and he gave it to me, and it was a used one. But I used that laptop when I got on the airplane
to
write my testimony to condemn him. But then that happened at the airport. Then I want to, the incident at the airport. Then I want to talk about some of the spiritual things that happened afterwards. We got a little time left. Anyway, so I got to the airport, and indeed I wanted to call my wife. And so I called her, you, at the airport. And when I did, you told me, you said, hey, calm down, look where you're at. And I'm, what? And, yeah, I'm at the airport. Well, you're yelling. And I looked around, and everybody at the airport's
100
looking
miles an hour.
Yeah, everybody at the airport's looking at me. At that point, I came back to being myself, you know. You know, and it was a shock. This was the weirdest thing that happened. In fact, the people that had escaped from there said that if I got worried about it, I had a way to call them, and that they would pick me up outside the fence or even come in and get me if I needed them to do so, the net team. And so I am so appreciative to those folks. I love you guys. You know, and later on, one of them moved to Kansas, and I did their wedding.
Mike,
yeah. So it was Mike then. That was who I was doing most of the time. Tim was the other one. But Tim's cool, too. You listen, Tim? Love you, brother. Haven't heard from you all in a while. But anyway, so afterwards, though, I got between emails and I even had a couple people come in down at 1616 and had said some things. But we were past 1616. So after that, I did have some retaliation from Steropoke. But then after I came back, my health got better. I was given money to go on shortwave radio, and that's when I started doing radio. And that money I was given for shortwave radio was to testify against STER and whatever I wanted. But, you know, I spent a lot of time testifying against STER until he was arrested. And you know, while he did a few days in jail or whatever, they gave him time served and a fine at that time. And he should have been put in prison and all this wouldn't happen. But again, it was very suspicious as to why he got off so early. And we can only guess as to that. Although I will say this is a very poor county and community that his ministry's at. And it's a possibility that he did have a lot of money in their local bank, you know. And so, you know, they earned money off that. I can't say for sure, but.
Well, all I know is I don't understand brainwashing. I don't know how that can give you a pass. But if it was Kansas, the way the law is here, if you're with someone and they commit a crime, you're just as guilty as they are. So everybody in that congregation, even though they may be brainwashed, they're just as guilty as he is. They didn't stand up. They didn't do nothing about it. And they still allow it. And they still follow him. They're just as guilty. They need to do a RICO Act. And
yeah, right now they're still saying they stand behind him. In fact, even the DA said that she would not talk about why his charges were reduced at that time. But now even the community, if you go over and look at the videos, you can see him fondling little girl's breast. I showed you.
In front of all them people. All them people are just as guilty as him. They're sitting there allowing him to do that. If that was my daughter, oh, my
God. As for the children, I won't say that about the children, you know. And some of – here's the thing.
I'm talking about adults, Dad.
Some of these adults, though, are – here's the point. They honestly – here is the biggest point. And this is what's so dangerous about this man is they honestly – it's the spirit of the devil, and he has them – honestly believing every word out of his mouth. They are not mentally right. As far as the children, they're probably scared to death. And the women, possibly too. But these people that I saw were scared to death, and they're not normal. They were not normal. And that's what I'm saying. And this is what's so dangerous, folks, about even listening to this man, listen to a false prophet. He really has them hoodwinked. They really honestly believe what he says, and they it doesn't matter what's normally right for wrong, because just like Jim Jones, he got all those people to drink Kool-Aid and kill themselves, and they honestly believed they were doing the right thing for the most part. Part of them were scared of
him. Well, there was the one man that they refused to get doctor's treatment, and he died there, and then there was a lady that was pregnant, that was over 10 months pregnant, and she, I don't remember how that one came out, but they wouldn't allow her to get medical attention.
She died.
They tried to scare you and put you in one of their little cabin houses or whatever, and right outside the window, they had people buried right outside the window. So, yeah.
Now, that one man, what it was, there was a man that went to, that had left their ministry and went to Africa or someplace to witness. And so STER prophesied that he would come back and he would die from something that he would get in Africa. Well, the guy finally came back to the community, repented to STER, and then he just quit eating. And he starved himself to death because he wanted STER's prophecy to come true. And that's a fact. This man is dangerous. And when they're that dangerous, that's why I say these people are going to need real help to come out of this place, because they believe that they're on the edge of the whole world is evil, and that if they step out of this place, that the devil's going to get them and they'll be arrested or whatever. They're scared to death to leave the place. That's how it is. And so they're mentally not right.
If they're really in tune with the Holy Spirit, though, it's like the ones that do come to the truth and try to leave. They're scared to leave, but they get out of there. Mike and Tim and all them got out of there. So,
well,
if the spirit's in them, the devil can't reside with the good.
Okay,
so.
But my point is, though, is still these are hoodwinked people. We still need to have some compassion and send some people in there. I'm sure some evil, if they can't be changed from it, then something else. But it's not for me to judge that. not for us to judge it.
I'm just saying the law here is if you're with somebody commits a crime, you're guilty.
Okay, we haven't got a lot of time left. Anyway, moving right along. So after that, there was all kinds of crazy spiritual things that happened to us. Like, for instance, the demon in the van. Tell them about the story with the demon in the van.
And when we came back from Wichita on the way home.
Right.
One of the boys had to go potty, so we pulled on a dirt road. And you had your black top hat, whatever that kind of hat's called, cowboy hat, whatever, and a long black trench coat on. Well, I seen you get out and go to the back of the van with, I think it was Elijah, I don't know which one, and one of the boys. But when I turned the headlights off, there was a man standing in front of the van with the hat and a trench coat on. So I turned the lights on, and he was gone. Turned them off, and he was there. I turned them on, and he was gone. Off he was there, on he was gone. So then you got in the car, and I said, watch this. And you seen it? He said, let's get out of here and go. So we went and came home. Well, I worked third shift at that time. The next night when I got in the truck, the van, to go to work, he was in the back of the driveway, standing in the driveway. And I was like, oh, no, I ain't buying this. I just threw it in reverse and left and went to work.
Ran right over me. But I was asked a question, what was I doing in a cowboy? It wasn't a cowboy hat. It's a fedora.
Okay. Well, I didn't know what it was called.
It's a fedora. You know, it's a black hat, you know, like a Jew wears or something. You know,
I don't know fedora. Those big words.
Like it's a fedora. Anyway.
Well, then a couple days later, I was taking out the trash. I took out the trash of my, our adopted daughter was, their mom and dad, actually her dad is the one that introduced me and my hut and Dan. But her mom, I took out the trash, threw it in the dumpster, and I heard, what are you doing, Linda? And it was Christy's voice, and I'm like, where are you at? And I'm like, run back in the house. Dan, Christy's out there in the dumpster.
And it was something to Mike. And also April, my daughter, my adopted daughter that lost the baby, she stayed in this house at this time. It wasn't a radio house. She stayed in this house. With her old man and didn't something grab him?
They went outside to smoke a cigarette or something and something grabbed a hold of Dwight's shoulder and April came running over to the house. We're not sleeping over there. Can we sleep on the couch? We're not sleeping over there. Something just grabbed a hold of Dwight.
Yeah, he said he saw it was a black arm came out of the dark and tried to grab him. And so for a while we were really, I'm telling you, stare is demonic. And that, what I saw in him was demonic. Now, what I witnessed in person, I'll testify to that. I haven't seen him in 15 years, but he's doing the same thing. That's reprobate. He's doing the same thing over and over and over again. This community needs to be disbanded or it needs to come under somebody else's control that can minister to these people and bring them back to health or something. And there is a such thing as a good Christian community. Pastor Roberts runs a wonderful community, and there's some other ministers around that run these also. They are good places. Anyway, so folks, if you know somebody that's listening to RG Stare on the radio or on the internet, and he did go off the internet, and he has not yet been sentenced for this new thing that he did, then warn them about him. Tell them to listen to this program. Go follow links and see what's going on. And so now, what can you know, these are the kinds of things that we do. The Father uses us for a lot of spiritual warfare and so on and so forth that we do really need your support. You know, what kind of money do we really need to get us through the summer, Mother?
Well, just for, you mean for a month?
For a month.
I need around roughly $3,000 just to finish off this month. And then the first comes again, start all over.
Okay, well, so here's the point. That'll get us up out of during the summer, you know, donations drop. You know, people are just not as many people are listening to radio, and then other people, you know, they don't have as much money because while the economy's recovering, people hasn't seen it all in their paycheck.
Well, and it's kids out of school vacation and all kinds of stuff going on, yeah.
Right. So, you know, so donations drop dramatically during the summer, you know, and we need money to get us out of this hole. And get us on the track. Usually at the end of August, things start getting better. August, September. September, then they start getting better and it picks back up. So we do really need your help. You know, and a lot of you folks, you're out there. You're listening to radio. And you say, well, I'm not listening to radio. I'm listening to your podcast. my podcast is recorded as live radio, you know, and you wouldn't have the podcast if you didn't have the live radio. And guess what? The podcast costs too. You know, I have to pay for the podcast, but I have to pay live radio. I have to pay for the station airtime every month. I didn't pay them at all last month. I paid about half this month. And so we really do need your help. I need to pay radio. We also need, you know, everything for the church. If you live in Wichita and you want to help out, you can bring food by. We can always use eggs and meat. You know, what kind of meat? How much chicken does it take to make something?
I usually just use 2-3 pound bags of chicken.
2-3 pound bags of chicken.
Because, I don't know, 3 pounds is 3 pounds, but it sure don't seem like it. Tenders always goes farther than breasts.
Right, right. And we cut them up and make, you know, chicken and rice.
And a 5 pound roll of hamburger. I feed everybody a 5 pound roll of hamburger.
It's amazing how you take a 5 pound roll of hamburger and feed 60, 70 people.
Right, because I used to use 10 pounds, but then the prices, I couldn't get to where I could hardly afford it, so I cut it in half and I still get the same end result. I can still feed 50, 60, 70 people, depending on what it is and how many other sides I have with it.
Right, but like right now, though, in order to do that, you know, we've been making a lot of spaghetti and stuff. Now we're down to, we need if we're going to be making spaghetti, we need some big cans of tomatoes and things like that.
Right now we're out of forks, we're out of cups, we're out of napkins, we're out of, well, someone just bought 2 bags of sugar, but we're out of tea, we're out of plates, we're out of go plates, we're out of everything.
Yeah, and we need, and parboiled rice, you know, better than regular rice. And yes, we make chicken or hamburger rice and put vegetables and things in it, but the point is we got to add rice. Regular rice mushes too easy, so parboiled rice is always better. And noodles, every kind of pasta, spaghetti, macaroni.
A different pasta makes a different dish.
Yeah, amen, you know. And bouillon, if you can bring bouillon, that's great too. Things like that.
Garlic, pepper on everything. Garlic, pepper, garlic, 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 and pepper.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, folks, pray about it. You know, all donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
The heart.
From the heart. And, again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtimes. It's not free. I know that you hear commercials and things, folks, but those commercials are advertised. That's the radio station that puts those out. Those are not our sponsors. So pray about supporting radio and help us out if you care about the Mission Church. Now you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And so
just make it out to Messiah's Branch.
Yeah, you don't have to make it out to Pastor Dan or Sister Linda. Make it out to Messiah's Branch. And find it all the information at prophecyhour.com.
And if there's something specific that you want it to go towards, make a note on or send a sticky note on it, and that's where it'll go for.
Right. Otherwise, we just use it towards the greatest need at that moment, you know, because there's always a need. And let alone with this ministry, there's always a need.
And we're working on getting another newsletter out. I just got to do my page after radio, so.
Yeah, just say hello to the newsletter people, because there was a couple of people before we sent the newsletter out, when we sent it out the first time, that asked me, can you still listen on the telephone because they're older and they don't use the Internet? And so I told them how to listen to the program on the telephone. So say hello.
Hello, people that get the newsletter. You're going to get one here shortly, in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
Hopefully next week.
Now tell them goodbye.
Shalom.
You've got about a minute.
Oh, I've got about a minute?
Yeah, well, what do you want to say?
I want to tell you about this. Do I got enough time to tell them about the little 14-year-old boy? A family came up from Florida. Their 14-year-old has a tumor behind his right eye, and he couldn't see. He could barely make out one letter at a time. And so they came up here for natural remedies. And ran into some Mike and Pam, the people that come from to help at the mission, and became friends with them. Well, they talked him into coming to a Friday night service, and we prayed on him. And then his mom was having really severe migraine headaches, and we prayed on her, and we anointed both of them. Well, then they were going to go back to Florida, but they had a bunch of problems. The devil's just really coming at them. But 2 weeks later, just last week, they came back, got praise report. She hasn't had any more headaches. And he is able to read one word at a time now, so his tumor is dissolving. So there's two praise reports, and then the dad asked for a prayer for his side pain. So, yeah, we've been working.
Amen. All right, now you can say goodbye.
Okay, shalom.
All right.
See you next week.
All right.
I won't see you, but you may hear me next week.
Thank goodness you can't see her. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing
to others.
I was reading something else. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan and
Sister Linda
saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.